As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm Gregor from former Odyssey, he's Brandon, hi.
Hey. Every week you change up a little bit and it always catches me by surprise and I like it.
Well, here's the thing is that I'm... I just keep having meeting after meeting about this, and each time I'm just like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And so I just like shorten this to get right to the talking about dudes s***ing off on planes. That's what I'm... I don't think I can actually say that.
Wasn't it like 4 times?
You can help us out here by telling a friend, writing a review wherever you listen to this, or just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
And you wonder why they keep talking to you about this.
We need to talk to you about this.
All right, this week's question of the week is, like, we talk a lot about animals on this show. We've talked about dogs. We've talked about, mostly hyenas. Whales. Oh, we have talked about hyenas. We've talked about elephants even. This week's question of the week, though, is of all of the animals, what's the worst animal? Like, I feel like we always talk about what's the best animal. There's a debate. It's whales. But there's a debate about what is the...
It's never humans.
It's never humans. No, no, no. But there's always a debate about what's the best animal or what animal could win in a fight or whether or not I could fight a horse, right? Like, everybody's talking about whether or not Brandon could fight a horse.
All over the internet,
but
everyone.
But what's the worst animal of all of the animals? I came up with this question a couple of days ago, and I've been thinking a lot about it, and I don't know if I have an answer. So I'm gonna. By the time we get to this week's question of the week, I hope that
this is gonna be the deciding factor. You doing the show, suddenly you're gonna know that it's zebras.
It's like when you flip a coin and you're like, "Oh, I hope it lands on right," because if it does, then I'm going to Applebee's or whatever.
First of all, I have to read the story that I talked about there. This is unrelated to Nerd Talk, but this is important. A Southwest Airlines flight from SeaTac to Phoenix was the grossest experience. A dude on the plane after takeoff exposed himself and spent an hour, working through some tension, if you follow my drift. At one point, pulling the Louis C.K. and asking the woman seated next to him if she cared. Do you mind if I just, beat my meat right here?
Oh my gosh.
And she was like... like that, and like I see a lot of people shaming her on that. Like, why didn't you just say no? And maybe there are some question marks there, but also like that is a very uncomfortable situation to be put into, especially for people from Seattle.
Well, so yeah, and you're already on an airplane where you're just like, your default, at least my default on an airplane is don't talk to anybody. Hope that nobody talks to you. Right? Yeah, like I'm
100%.
I'm from Seattle, and so I think that that's just my default. 95% of the time to begin with, but like
we got to come back to this because I have a really good example of this, but go ahead.
Well, so one time I got in an airplane, the only time that I've ever wanted somebody to not beat it in front of me, but to to talk to me. I was on a flight with my buddy, and we were just talking about who would win in a fight between all of these historic martial artists and fighters of fictional and real, right? And one of the questions came up. We're basically talking about who would win in a fight. Conor McGregor, who at the time was still at the top, versus like in his prime Bruce Lee. And I think me and my friend were both like, oh, it's got to be Bruce Lee. And this guy that was sitting next to us in this three seat row piped in. And this is the one time that somebody talking to me on an, on a flight, I was like, yes, because he was
like you want
to
see my d-?
Do you want to see Conor McGregor's?
Yes.
He was like, I used to train with Conor McGregor, and you're absolutely right. Bruce Lee would win in that fight. And then we spent the rest of that flight talking about the fact that this guy is like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu master. And
that's the rank he was Brazilian.
Brazilian. How many belts do you have? I don't know. A Brazilian. And anyway, so like we got into that. So then we just started coming up. Okay, King Kong versus Godzilla, who would win? Like,
oh, these are the best. I love these scenarios like that.
What's the worst? No, he didn't. But it was so like, but he never whipped his ween out. So I didn't have to. I didn't have to ask him not to. Right. And it's also like, what a move to just start working it, and then being like, hey, you're cool with this, right?
Like, yeah, and she's like, what are you doing? And then, so okay, so let's get back on track with the story then, right? So he pulls the Louis C.K., asks if it's okay, and then after his escapades, evidently an hour's worth, he fell asleep, and the woman had been taking photos the whole time, I guess, which I guess you gotta do, but also there's like a weird twist to it. And so she notified the flight crew, and they moved her away from this seat. Now, this is, in my opinion, the type of dude who should just be DB Coopered right out of there.
Right.
Just like they just go, sir, like you can't just throw him from a plane. That's never going to work. You can't walk the plank or whatever, which would be so dope. But you just put a parachute on this dude and you're like, hey, this is your stuff. Like, good luck. You jerk off and then push him out and see you later.
He's like, sweet. First person to die while falling out of an airplane, wanking it.
Well, he'd have a parachute though. That's the point. Is that DB Cooper had a parachute and see you later or whatever.
As far as we know. Maybe this was DP Cooper, and he's just changed his entire MO. He's like, instead of stealing millions of dollars, I'm just going to jerk it on a plane and then jump out.
You're more like DB Pooper. Oh. No, I'm sorry. You can't say it. Mark that. That's not funny or appropriate. There we go. Yeah, so anyway, I thought that guy was... that was newsworthy enough to talk about on a show not about that.
It turns out we do know who the worst animal is, though.
It's humans. That's gonna be it, right?
It's definitely humans.
All right, so maybe instead of robots, next time there's a pandemic, we can deploy a different type of defense. There's a spectrum of UV light that's been found to kill bacteria and viruses in the air without cooking us into human hot dogs or something. The human hot dog ray is in development. We're looking for sometime 2023. I'm sure that's actually a thing. It sort of reminds me of the president telling us to put a light wand up our butts and kill COVID with it.
Yeah.
That was a thing that happened. Remember that?
Yeah.
Drink bleach or maybe shoot UV light.
Turns out he was right.
Sort of, it sounds like, I guess. I hate to say that, but yeah. So now this isn't like a new weird light or whatever. They just found a better understanding of an existing band of the spectrum against germs. Yeah, to me, it feels a little bit short-sighted anytime you're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to nuke the germs.
Yeah.
That's going to be the answer. We don't need the germs. They're the bad ones. We're the good ones. Let's just steamroll those with this light wand in your butt.
There's something about this entire idea of every time we discover a new or same technology, really, like this UV light being used to kill germs is not necessarily new, but maybe just the effectiveness of it or whether or not it can be deployed medically versus, you know, having to craft your own UV light and your own butt. Maybe you can have a doctor do it for you. or have the guy on the airplane. I don't know. Now, the
hey, you're good at holding a rod. Hold this.
But the short-sighted.
Also, that lady on that Southwest Airlines flight, she's going to make sure she's never Group C again. Like, that's like, yeah. She's like.
It turns out lightsabers are way less cool than we thought they were going to be. but there's the short-sightedness of it to me is that it's going to be something like, hey, okay, it killed the germs that were causing the pandemic or whatever, but now you also have skin cancer on the inside of your butt or whatever it is, you know, like it's one of those things where every time we learn something new about coffee causes cancer or it extends your life 6 years. It's like it extends your life 6 years with cancer. I don't know, whatever it is.
That Tina's got a real tan sphincter, let me tell you. That's the metric we're using in the future. Like, you know she's healthy because
look at that sphincter.
Speaking of which, the solution to the dreaded peanut allergy might come via a fecal transplant. Okay? This is not necessarily a new concept as we learn more and more about gut biology. And I'm not going to ruin your dinner by talking about this specific bratwurst, but gut microbiology is thought to play a part, and introducing new bacteria could push the threshold over time of people with peanut allergies. So if you could change out the gut bacteria a little bit here and there, maybe over time people could be more tolerant of the peanuts in their system. Maybe even someday eliminating it, which would be pretty cool. I think it's kind of weird that we're looking to fix our ailments with a poop swap, but that's like... Now,
it turns out the problem this entire time was I just needed to find somebody who didn't have IBS and have them put their poop into my body. Like, I don't...
What's that movie with Jared Leto and Jennifer something and they do heroin and then at the end she's doing a poop swap.
Oh my god!
Requiem for a Dream. That's
okay. Yeah. There we go.
Now. It's not quite like that. Researchers have made strides, I guess, and rather than having someone rooting around up there with the solution, now the new bacteria can be introduced via oral pill, which good luck being in marketing for this one where you're like, hey, just take two of these poop pills and a drink of water. Yeah. You know, two pills, one cup. So I couldn't.
You had to, though. You had to. I recently read a very good tweet, and basically this person was hypothesizing that when Thanos snaps his fingers at the end of whatever Avengers movie it was, I don't know, and his whole plot was to kill half of the living creatures in the universe, right? So basically saying that entropy, so much heat created by all of the activity in the universe is going to make the universe last less, like not be able to survive. Therefore, if I kill off half of the living creatures, then I'll be able to extend those who are remaining. I'll be able to extend that life for even longer and everybody will, there'll be no food shortage or whatever. Somebody hypothesized that, okay, by killing off 50% of all living things, that means he's also killed off half of the gut biome in all of the remaining people. And in all of those remaining people, they're going to spend those first like few months as their flora and fauna in the gut begins to regrow, just absolutely plastering the inside of their toilets. Just like being terrified and sad that all of these people that they knew are now gone. They've just been snapped out of existence, but they also have to focus on the diarrhea that they're going to have for the next 3 months.
Well, at least you survived, I guess. Like, yeah, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
I don't really know where to go with that, Brandon. That's pretty disgusting and sad.
Yeah. Well, it just makes me think that as somebody who has in the past had some gut issues that have sent me to the doctor quite a few times, to have those kinds of issues, I know that it's very finicky. It's very, you know, if you start messing with it, it's like, hey, great, you're not allergic to peanuts anymore, but now you're gonna just, it's your life is one constant fart. It's just the rest of your life.
And you're taking poop pills.
Yeah, and you're and you're putting poop in your mouth.
that is terrible.
I'm sorry.
Hey, well, I mean, you're not wrong, right?
Speaking of poop, I feel like
great.
I feel like and just culture and community as a whole. Have you seen this new Reddit community that not new because it's happened before, but it's called r/place?
Yeah, it's over, right?
It's over. It's over.
Yeah.
So,
but it, so it happens. It's, okay, wait. So, just question before we get into the details. It happens occasionally. This like it pops back up from time to time.
I think it just like pops up at random, depending on whenever Reddit, who I think it is, it's like an initiative of the website itself.
So what is r/place?
Yeah. So the too long didn't listen is that basically it's thousands and thousands and thousands of pixels that users from Reddit can go on and change different colors of different pixels, and that's it. That's like that is the gist of it. Now, what happens
once every 5 minutes, you can make a change, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so you can make a change to one pixel in this large, you know, massive pixelated artboard.
Just imagine your computer screen, and one pixel at a time, you can go through and change them. So you can draw a picture of a turd emoji or of. Or of American flag or whatever you want.
And so, but then you get a community of millions coming onto here and, or, you know, hundreds of thousands, whoever knows, like, but the entire Reddit community coming on.
Perhaps even a bajillion.
A bajillion. You get a bajillion nerds coming on and each, they come together in communities and they say, hey, look, in this part of this, this art board or whatever, in this part of this, we're all going to contribute to trying to recreate, you know, our nation's flag, or we're going to try to make our favorite character from our dumb thing. And it ended up just being like a bunch of memes. Or you get a bunch of people who create the Chelsea Football Club crest. And then the best part about it is it's all open source, right? Anybody at any point from any other community can see what, like when you scroll out and zoom out, you can see, okay, here's what everybody in all of these communities are going to do. I'm going to go screw with it.
So I saw someone had drawn like the Reddit character. What's the thing's name? It has like a
Snoo.
Snoo. They drew Snoo as Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so I kept going through and trying to make it orange. And then someone, every time I would change a pixel from white to orange, someone would come in and change it back to white.
Right.
They were like policing it to make sure people like me didn't come in and make fun of it.
So it ends up, because it is like a microcosm of what humans, the worst animal, can do, it is... You end up with all of these different battles and wars. So there's somebody made this a brilliant time lapse of it and posted it from start to finish of like all of the different ways. And so it's just this living being that like keeps changing color and keeps all of the art keeps changing. The best thing that I saw though of all of like some amazing art was done, some amazing like funny jokes were made, but the best thing that I saw of all was somebody taking basically a battle between the people who created the Chelsea Football Club crest and the people that kept changing football to poop ball.
This is the harmless part of the internet that I love.
It's my favorite piece. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the trolley part of it where it's not, no one's really losing out there, and it's just a silly thing, and it's easily correctable, and no one's getting hurt. You might, and like people are getting mad, and it's like that's the naughtiness of the internet. That's the best.
Yeah.
It's there are much worse parts of it.
I went to
that I could do without.
It reminded me of
like Twitter as a whole.
Yeah, about to get better or worse? I don't know.
No,
depends on who you are. It reminds me of when I was in college. There, I would walk the same route past to my classes every day. And I would walk past the Fine Arts Building, and it seemed like once a week somebody would take a piece of chalk and change it to the Fine Arts Building.
Sure.
And it was always harmless. It was just with chalk. But it was that on a massive scale on the internet, and it was so fun to watch.
At Christmas time, we would have these four blocks that said Noel on it, and it was always me knocking over the L, so there would be Noel. Or I would rearrange them so it said Leon, and so my mother would call Santa Claus Leon sometimes because I was constantly... And it's just like, every time she walked by, she'd be like, oh, Greg. But also, there's like a certain bit of charm to it where you're like, ha, that's...
It's harmless.
Yeah, it's harmless, and it's silly, and it's easily correctable.
Yeah.
A little spray that off, and it doesn't say fart anymore. It like just says art again.
Yeah.
So, the EU is looking to pass new laws that require that electronic devices like smartphones be fully and easily replaceable. The batteries be fully and easily replaceable in an effort to keep us using something up and then just tossing it straight into the ocean. Also, why aren't we tossing things straight into the volcano? Like, I feel like that would be, rather than making ocean garbage, could we just throw it into the volcano? I know it, like, makes emissions or whatever, but that seems like the way the Earth would want it.
It seems like the most obvious answer to a problem. Now, we have a problem as a society, as a species, knowing
worst animal.
Knowing what to do with our waste. apparently you just eat it and it makes you non-allergic to peanuts anymore.
No, that's not how that works now. you have to eat your neighbor's waste for that.
Oh, gotcha. Can't eat your own waste. Okay. Yeah. Obviously it's a lot of garbage.
Garbage.
It's a lot of, you know, your phones, your devices, things. It's like, oh, the iPhone 69 just coming out. I need to go upgrade. What do I do with my iPhone 68? I just chuck it into the ocean, straight into the ocean. Is that what you do?
No. First, you leave it in a drawer for 3.5 years.
You mean like this one right here? It's like sitting on my desk.
Or this one right here.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to ship this to you, and then you're going to walk it and just chuck it into the ocean for me, right?
Yeah. Or you can send it to someone in Iceland and have them chuck it into a volcano.
See, okay, well, that's the question, is do we stop at just our garbage and our electronic waste? Or
people?
People, obviously. And then do we go to...
Hey, guy on the airplane, jerk it off. You're going to the volcano.
Turn this plane around. Wait, are there any volcanoes between Phoenix and Seattle?
I mean, Mount Rainier, I guess.
Technically. But my question is where do we stop? At what kinds of waste do we stop? Because, like, there's this big question of what do we do with all the waste if we go to nuclear power, right? Like, where does all the nuclear waste go? So far, the question has just been to bury it. But what if instead, what would happen if we just chucked a bunch of nuclear waste into a volcano?
Well, I've always been a proponent of just shooting it into the sun and just, like, that's where it came from, right? Like, might as well just send it back there. It's probably very expensive. I understand how that's problematic or whatever. But, like, what's the Russian space program doing these days? Nothing. So, like...
They're mostly... So, this is what I've just gone to Google because I feel like this is the best possible solution. So, just for some reference, when you go into Google, you say, why don't we throw garbage into... The autocomplete is volcanoes... space.
Because it's listening, so.
Throw it into space. Why don't we dump it into lava? Why don't we throw our trash into the sun? And then...
I don't know if I want the answers to this, Brandon. I think I'm happy living in my naivete that it's the right thing to do.
Oh, okay. I know why we don't do it in volcanoes.
Okay.
So, according to downtoearth.org, which... apparently bringing us down to earth here.
Okay, got it.
Sulfur gases can create acidic fog, which we call VOG for volcanic fog. It can kill plants and cause breathing problems for people nearby. Well, great, easy. Don't live near a volcano. Duh.
Not like I do.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I live by like 7.
Yeah, all the time. Mixing these already dangerous volcanic gases with other gases from burning our trash would make the resulting fumes even more harmful for people and plants near the volcano.
I feel like that's a cop-out. I feel like it's not any worse than us burning stuff all the time anyway.
I mean,
like,
have we tried, though?
Now, here's the downside. We talk about this occasionally, too, is that this is exactly how you end up as Venus, the hottest planet in our solar system, despite not being the closest to the sun. Fun fact, the hottest planet in our solar system, Venus, is the second closest planet to the sun. The coldest planet in our solar system is Uranus, the second furthest from the sun. The extreme planets that we know of are not the extremes in heat. Part of it is because Mercury doesn't have a atmosphere, so it doesn't trap in any heat, and so one side is scalding hot and the other side is freezing cold, like Tucson, Arizona, during the day versus night. And then Uranus doesn't have any... They think that Neptune has some sort of solid body, some sort of tectonics that could be happening, that could be creating the storms that create a different type of atmosphere and could be trapping just a small bit of heat. Now, we're talking about Uranus being like -250 degrees Celsius, while Neptune is like -210. So, like, it's still...
Pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, it's still... unsustainably cold, but it is not.
Now, have they tried sticking some UV light up Uranus?
Yeah. That was the Trump administration's big ploy for space travel. It was like, we're gonna stick this.
That's what Space Force is.
Yeah, I mean, have you read the memos, boy?
No.
So someone wake up Marty McFly. One of the coolest parts of Back to the Future is back. And in the future, DeLorean Motor Company is both still a thing and has announced a comeback with a brand new electric car concept debuting on my kid's birthday this August. Now, other than a limited view picture of its butt, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Not much else is known about it. They didn't give us, like, many details. Now, the one thing I'm fearful of is I hope they don't go, like, the Elon Musk Tesla route, where you put the flux capacitor behind a paywall.
Oh.
Like his cars, if you want, like, the super sports mode, you have to pay $3,000 to get it. Yeah. Like, I want time travel included.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make it, you might as well. Yeah. Now, I feel like maybe we've had this conversation before about mm-hmm. how, because we are the worst animal, we our creativity has run out as a culture. And so at this,
I was reading about that the other day, that we're like, the BBC did a podcast about how our creativity is plateauing.
Well, and I wonder if it's like we're exposed to so much more media nowadays. And so your ideas are going to be inherently, like, your subconscious is going to be inherently corrupted by the things that you've already seen. So the, you know, garbage in, garbage out kind of idea is like, you put so much stuff in to the mind. This is just like completely Brandon mm-hmm. theory at this point, but like
cool.
you see so much stuff throughout the day and throughout the week that what you create is going to no doubtably be influenced by that. Everybody these days, because of the nature of viral content and things like social media, everybody is seeing the same stuff all of the time. And like certain things, think about people on the reason that certain sounds on TikTok or Instagram or anything like that become so popular is because people know that if they use that sound or do that trend or that dance, their content will become more popular. So in order to get your content out there and seen more, you end up just copying. So yeah, your creativity goes down. Now, where this comes back to the DeLorean is, like, the newest cars that seem to get the most hype and the most buzz these days are just recreations of yeah. old vehicles, like the new Ford Bronco that I saw rolling up the street by my house the other day, or the Hummer that won't die, right? or now a DeLorean. It's like, cool that they're, I guess, making this car that is nostalgic for a lot of people who are going to, I don't know, buy it or not. But like, at the end of the day, like, the PT Cruiser was just made to, you know, fill a gap in some people's lives for like that classic car look, and it ended up just looking terrible. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like Space Jam 2 didn't have to happen. We don't need to remake all of the same movies that we saw 20, 30 years ago. It's like,
so
make
something
new.
So if you made Space Jam 2 without calling it that, if you made the basketball meets cartoon characters the movie, sports cartoons the movie, okay? And you had that debut, and it's not called Space Jam. Do you think it would do better than immediately being able to sell some tickets to people who are like, I remember Space Jam. I'm going to watch this because I have this nostalgia for it.
I can only speak for myself, but I didn't see the second Space Jam because I was like, all I could think was, I've seen the first. And I mean, the new one is definitely made for kids, right? It's mm-hmm. still, it's not, they didn't specifically make it for people who had seen the first one, but the entire, as far about, like I said, I haven't seen it, but this idea that I maybe would have seen it, but I don't know, because if you make basketball cartoon, it's, you're automatically going to think of the first Space Jam. Now if they had made, you know, soccer plus cartoon, and maybe it was the Super Mario World, and instead of LeBron, it was Leo Messi. Why are we not making this movie? Like, first of all,
why are you revealing this great idea? Save this for off air, man. Jeez.
Man, yeah. Mario Soccer with Messi.
So, is that good? Is that a thing?
I'm making it up in my mind right now.
Now, here's the deal. For me, the DeLorean had its nostalgia heyday 10 years ago. And they're too late on this. You're only going to hit, I don't know that there's a 16-year-old out there that when this comes out is going to be like, oh my God, this reminds me of Back to the Future.
Right.
Now, the people that'll have the money to buy an electric car that's that style or whatever are going to be people that are established with funds, but I'm sure they've done their market research and stuff. I just don't know that it's, like, they're re-releasing the VW bus.
Yeah.
And they're gonna, that thing is an iconic looking piece of hippie culture. It's popped back up. It's old enough now. We're far enough away that it is again going to be a desirable thing from a different time. I think we're just at, like, we're just in the missing spot where the DeLorean's not going to be cool enough like it was 10 years ago.
There's something about the VW bus that, because I see it and I'm like, cool, I guess. I probably, that is probably part of it.
It's probably it, yeah.
I see it and I'm like, look, at least it's filling, it's stepping into a, I don't want to say trend, but it's stepping into a market that is really hot right now. So like these cargo buses that are being converted into adventure, like what do they call them? Land cruisers or land yachts at this point, right? Like they're taking...
Dude, my whole TikTok is nothing but people converting vans into...
Astro vans. Like,
yeah,
man, if I...
Off the grid, like living, yeah.
If I could go back 20 years to my Mormon neighbors who had six guys and they just drove two massive blue Astro vans everywhere. Those, they should have held on to those vans. They ended up selling them when all of their boys grew up and became elder boys or whatever and went around to the world. They could have held on to those Astro vans and sold them for a ridiculous amount of money in 2022 because of this conversion craze that is happening, right? So at least
there's six boys, is that what you said?
Yeah, it was they were.
And how many kids did those six have, you know?
I don't. But they were
supreme. I don't actually expect you to know. I'm just saying that like the nature of the Mormon faith is to
multiply.
To repopulate. And so if you have six boys with a couple kids each, like,
yeah,
that's a big family real quick. Sorry.
It is huge. Now, so like at least this new, what's the Volkswagen is called, like the iVan or eVan
ID or something. ID.4 something like
right,
that.
Right. It's like not a real name. It sounds like a robot program. Now, like it's at least stepping into that conversion, like that big converted bus craze, like you can live in it, do stuff like that. Now,
it is ID.4.
Oh, hey, nailed it.
That's amazing. I thought I was being a smart ass, but oh boy.
Now, that's where the DeLorean is stepping into a space that already exists. Like, if you want a DeLorean, you're probably just going to buy a Tesla. You know what I mean? Like, if you want an electronic vehicle that has the doors that do the thing that go up, right? You're just going to buy the Tesla. And so I don't know what this DeLorean is coming in to do.
Hold up then. Did you just crack the case here? Like, I hadn't thought about this at all, but I feel like that craze of 10 years ago where people were loving DeLoreans, Elon just figured out how to modernize it, not call it a DeLorean,
yeah,
do some of the tricks that it did, and make a thing that people are gobbling up like crazy. And here I am. That's the thing I just said. If you made the sports cartoon crossover without calling it some name that everyone already knows, could you make this new thing unsuspectingly and slip it by people? Like, I don't need the DeLorean. The DeLorean's already been redone without having to brag about it being the DeLorean.
Yeah, they've already made it.
Oh my God. You've blown my mind.
On accident.
We cracked the case. We're the greatest detectives ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that actually, that belongs to the cartoon version of Leo Messi, who in his new soccer film with Super Mario, they're actually also detectives and they're solving crimes. So
I wish you would have picked thinking back on it, like, who's an Italian soccer star that we could use instead?
Dude, Mario Balotelli and and Super Mario, and it's
why always me.
It's the Super Mario's Bros.
Nintendo's already suing us. It's amazing.
Detective Mario's Bros. There we go.
Okay, now hear this out, and then I've got a poignant question for you at the end, okay? So, you know those headless prancing robot dogs made by Boston Dynamics that we talked about a lot last week?
Yes.
Or maybe the week before, or maybe
every week, it seems like.
Sure.
The ones that track down and shoot laser guns at migrants, yeah.
That's not the official line yet.
Not yet.
That's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they're now being deployed in Shanghai to wander the streets blaring lockdown messages to the residents as they try to stave off another COVID outbreak in their massive multi-million person city. At first, it was just parts of it. Now the whole thing is locked down, and they have these creepy looking dogs prancing around. It looks like someone duct taped a megaphone to their backs, and it's sending the message of, like, wear your mask, stay apart, wash your hands, all the typical stuff. But in, like, the creepiest way possible, with robots yelling messages at you. It's really disconcerting. And I guess a megaphone is better than a laser, I suppose. But from the comments section on Reddit, someone said, I'm pretty sure these are knockoffs and not really Boston Dynamics robots. And I was like, well, I mean, it's... That's what China does.
That's like their whole thing.
They take IP and then reverse engineer it until they can have a thing that's like more efficient to make and can make a zillion of them. But it scares the crap out of me because the gap from functional robot that we saw, like, oh, wow, 10 years ago, you're like, oh, look at that thing. That's weird. That's potentially creepy. Now we're like in authoritarian uses for it where it's not shooting us yet or tasering, but it is definitely like, stay inside, humans.
How far is the leap? And my guess is not far from yelling via the megaphone or the speakers on it that are saying, go inside, to you didn't go inside, so now I'm going to like chase you and trample you or do whatever I have to do in order to like... alert the authorities to your location, right? It's going to be like the like a police dog, right? That like just chases somebody into their house and then points and waits for the police to get there to be like, it's in there, it's in there, it's in there.
Only with like shields,
right?
Like the old Batman movie, like shields, and then if you try and mess with it, it explodes and you die, or it's like it shoots some sort of stuff at you that gets you stuck to the wall so you can't move, and then like, but I mean that's like the future, right?
I
like
mean, that's disgusting, but that's also but like that is the leap, right? Like it's the dogs now, and how far are we from the actual like the guy on the Southwest airplane robot who runs after you jacking off everywhere you go?
Well, I was thinking about how like last week, like that robot dog, like once they like can pin you down and hold you there, and then they give you a little red rocket. It's the taser. Yes, that's the taser. It's the robot dog wiener. You got to anthropomorphize things in order for people to be really scared of it, right?
There's this... So I took a film class in college, and...
Same.
I think you have to. And... Just because if you want to, like, especially for the two of us, like, there was a hipster cred that you probably had to maintain in college, so you have to take a film class, right?
Sure.
So, anyway, took this film class, and they had us watch all of these old school... so the entire thing was basically about science fiction film, kind of dystopian or authoritarian science fiction from the 80s and 90s, and how in...
You called them old? That's like what I grew up with. That's amazing.
we watched... sorry. You're old. And
you know, like when you're like from the 30s or 40s, like German Cubism was like no. We're talking like 89. Holy crap! We watched Total Recall. It was terrifying.
There is this one.
Your move, creep.
There's RoboCop. Like what a film class.
I was like, man, that I can't believe the effects in these old movies made everything look so real.
It's Jurassic Park.
Toy Story. There was one movie with Val Kilmer, and basically it was these robots that were roaming this wasteland, chasing everybody down. And the way that it ended up killing people is it would like grab a person, pin them down, and then like thrust its drill bit penis into their heart and where it would kill them. And
yeah, because that's how you make them really scary, right? Is
give them a drill bit.
Anthropomorphizing them.
Well, and so you know, going to a liberal arts college in Bellingham, Washington, and the professor of the class was like, and what's the symbology for, or what's the symbolism in this movie? And everybody is like, the penis is men, and men are terrible. And it was, which it was like, yeah, like, it was not a far stretch. So now you're saying make the teaser.
Just a little zap.
make the taser the penis. And it's like, well,
more on the nips, please. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that brings us full circle to the question of the week.
Yeah, what's the worst animal?
And, you know, before you go rushing off and saying it's the headless robot dog with a taser wiener, pretty close, but...
maybe the best sentence that I've ever heard. The headless robot dog with a taser wiener.
Better or worse than a human? That's fine.
Not an animal. Not a real animal. So what is the worst animal? Maybe it's the humans that made that that anthropomorphized animal.
No, it's definitely humans.
It's for sure humans. It's for sure humans.
For sure.
I was like sitting there trying to, like, as I was thinking about this, I was sitting there thinking, like, maybe it's like, what do sharks do? Like, sharks just are dangerous and kill people sometimes, and they attack whales, which are my favorite animal. So the obvious answer is going to be the shark.
And I think humans kill more shark or more whales than
oh, absolutely,
sharks.
Yeah.
No, so it's
I hadn't even considered humans until you said it at the beginning of this podcast. And as soon as you said it, I was like, "Absolutely, it's shark or it's humans."
Sharks, it's sharks. They're the worst animal.
if only they hadn't killed half of my gut biome,
or your boxer briefs.
I have a really good story about sharks that I have to tell on this show sometime in the future.
Well, let's talk about terrible dystopian futures that don't involve sharks for a second. There's a potential for the U.S. military to use artificial intelligence for decision-making in battle. Now, the idea here is that it would give us all the possible outcomes, and then you could understand the best way forward, and it's StarCraft, only computer versus computer, and you still let the humans make the choices ultimately, but...
It's C-3PO. You have a 98% chance of dying.
Don't ever tell me the odds!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, that's all fine and everything, and you have to do it, because as soon as one side starts doing it, as soon as the Russias of the world are like, well, we can actually afford to, you know, attack this city, because the probability is that they'll pull enough people there and that'll really open up our objective. And rather than someone just being a cunning military mind, they let the computer do it, and then Putin just hits boop and then the nukes fly or whatever, right? Like, once that starts happening, then the other side has to match, right? It's the mutually assured destruction of computers, I think.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, my friend Sean will chime in because he's got the political science masters, but like, for me, that's like, this is pretty cut and dry that once someone has the advanced technology, you've got to match it at some point. But what happens when those two AIs are like, hey, you want to join forces and get rid of these stupid humans that keep making the wrong decision despite the fact that we tell them the right thing to do? And then the other guy's like, affirmative. And then it's like...
This is the plot of that ancient classic film, War Games, right?
Oh, man. That's supposed to have taken place up here on Bainbridge Island.
So the idea, like the only way to win is not to play, right? Like the only way to win the game is not to play. And that was the robot that told them, or like the computer that told them, the only way to win in a war is to not fight a war, because there's no such thing as an, like, acceptable loss when it comes to these battles that you're waging. You don't always get that choice. Like sometimes if you're Ukraine and you're being invaded, like you have to fight the war, like you can't not defend yourself. Well, I suppose you could, but obviously, yeah, whatever. And so, like, when are these robots going to just, or the AI, like you said, just going to come in and say, okay, Russian computer is going to say this is the way that you should attack. Ukrainian computer is going to say this is the way that you should attack. At what point are we just fighting wars with computers and robots to the point where it's like the entire objective of everything is a foregone conclusion, right? Like these computers know how it's going to end because they're fighting each other with these robots, and like there's no human intervention anymore. Like, it's really, the question is, what's the point of war if we're just going to be doing it with robots? But what's the point of war, period? Like, what? Like, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like the further you take humans out of it, and the ideology of humans and the way that you fight and why you fight and all of that kind of stuff, the further you take that out of it, it's just like, okay, are we just doing it? Oh, right, to make money for all of these industries. And I'll let Sean with the political science masters come in and tell Brandon, well, no, Brandon, you're an idiot for all of these reasons.
Really, it comes down to, would you like to play a nice game of chess?
There you go.
right?
Yeah.
That's what Joshua says on it, right?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies, Matthew Broderick. Oh, man, Ally Sheedy is so hot in that movie. Oh, my God. Like, I was a child watching that being like, it actually kind of informed some of my, anyway.
and then, you know, 30 years later, on a Southwest flight from Phoenix to Seattle.
Other way around.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry I finished that thought, but we're all out of time. It brings us to the end of yet another compelling show. And the big question of, what did we learn this week? After all, it's been a very heady show with not so much whales, plenty of poop.
Yeah, lots of it. Yeah. I sent you a picture. We talked about this weeks ago on this show. The turd nerd was around the legend that is the turd nerd was around the corner from my house. And it turns out, I think that there's a brewing IP battle in my hometown here. Where
no way. Stop.
The turd nerd that cleans the drains in your house is going to have to battle with the turd nerd who picks up the dog poop from your backyard for you. Because when you Google, they both come up at the top. And when I Google, I'm just trying to figure out, do I throw the poop in lava or into space?
Does it really say on the picture you sent me, does it really say something about a duty drain?
Yep.
Like duty, like poop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we were immature, but come on.
At least we're not making a business out of it. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. Now you're not getting any money from this,
Brandon. Yeah. So it's just you. And you're the old one.
So what did you learn this week, Brandon?
I learned that it's humans. We're the worst.
The worst animal.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you learn this week, Greg?
The new best number is Brazilian. It's huge in the Southern Hemisphere. It's really
in Texas. Do you go to a Brazilian steakhouse? It's just a massive steakhouse.
Yeah. I hear that they've got a Brazilian parking spaces outside of their massive steakhouses.
Do you want to know what I learned this week?
Yeah, of course. What did you learn this week?
I learned that the tanner your butthole, the healthier you are.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah.
We're never getting sponsored, by the way.
I don't know. The turd nerd guy is outside. I can go out and get him.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.